D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, Nick Frazier here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai. .com by our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter. Teron, Willie is out today, so I don't have anybody else to say this to. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day, my friend.
Yeah, happy Bobby Bonilla Day. But I tell you, I think somewhat proximate to Baltimore Orioles. They're also paying Bobby Bo $500,000 a year as well. So I can get into the story of what happened and why, if you want, but
why not?
Okay.
Go for it.
Hey, quickly, TD, before you tell that story, hey, I'm headed to NY, man. I'm going to have to shoot you a text, man, because I need some Mets. I know you're a Mets fan, but I'm trying to get some Yankee tickets, man. Or I can get some Mets tickets.
I'll see what I could do, but that'll be hard. I'm in NY right now.
Hell, oh, are you? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll be down there in a few days.
All right, we'll have to figure it out. I got you.
Okay.
But, yeah, so, Adam, for your story, this is what happened. When they signed Bobby Bonilla, when they signed him, rather than pay him immediately, they agreed to this annuity because they took the money that they were going to pay him and reinvested it with Bernie Madoff, and that was supposed to give him even a more highly compounded amount than – even having it the way it is now with Bobby Bo. But we know what happened with the Bernie Madoff, and there's your Mets history lesson for today.
Bobby Bonilla, Bernie Madoff. Did an interview with Sportico about Bobby Bonilla Day. By the way, today he receives his deposit of roughly $1.2 million from the New York Mets, the 15th of 25 payments that will extend annually to 2035. He said in an interview, quote, "It's bigger than my birthday. People know this date more than they know my birthday. I think it's very cool. People are just happy that I put the money aside." So happy Bobby Bonilla Day to all of those who celebrate. But Teron, we heard from L'Jarius Sneed the other day. He did an interview with NBC 6 News in Shreveport, Louisiana, I believe a football camp that he runs or participates in. And he said, among other things, "I missed a whole year, and I have to remind everybody who L'Jarius Sneed is." So what should we expect from Sneed as training camp starts? Should we expect him to be a full participant? And as we're setting our expectations for L'Jarius Sneed this coming season, what should be that baseline?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, that sure sounded good, right?
Yes,
and I think to take it from verbal to physical, he needs to be there and be practice. And I know he has his own management plan and everything like that, but in order to get to the level that he previously was, he needs to get back into, you know, the grind, just going through and getting it about the mud how he did when he first got into the league as a fourth-round draft pick. So that's what the expectation should be. That's what my expectation would be if I'm Brian Callahan and, of course, Denard Wilson.
Are there any updates on his legal situations?
No. I believe there was supposed to a grand jury last month, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that. I'm not positive, but I haven't heard anything other than that.
Teron, yesterday in the NFL, a blockbuster. I believe this is the adequate use of the adjective blockbuster to describe this trade between the Dolphins and Steelers, Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith going one way, Minka Fitzpatrick going the other way. How do you grade this trade from both the Steelers and Dolphins perspectives?
Yeah, it's a weird trade, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you would think Minka Fitzpatrick was solidified as part of that Steelers defense. And I mean, obviously we know what was going on with Ramsey. I think the thing that's interesting with that is despite Jalen Ramsey being a guy who has deteriorated a bit to the point where they consider moving him to safety, everyone knows that he's available. So to be able to have all that be the situation, still get value in Fitzpatrick back, I think that's a good deal. But at the same time, I'm of the belief that you don't get better by trading good players. Like it doesn't So the Jonnu Smith one is confusing, but I mean, look, they went and they made a trade for Darren Waller, so they're going to pull him out of the rap video and into the locker room.
How do you feel about Darren Waller unretiring and joining the Miami Dolphins?
I tell you what's interesting. I was in Baltimore when he got drafted, and I remember he was a receiver, and I remember watching Bobby Engram just work with him over and over and over again to condense himself, because you see how big he is, you know, so you can't be that big of a target. And then just his whole story is cool. He looks like he's still in good shape, you know, judging from the video he made. So it's low risk, high reward, if you ask me.
Now, TD, in discuss and looking at this, because I just found it, like you, it odd that the Dolphins would trade away a Jonnu Smith, who has excelled in their offense, to go get a guy that was playing pretty good, but, you know, he lost the love of the game and he was injured, to bring him in now and to expect, or maybe they don't expect, the production there. Just like you said, it's a high reward, you know, low risk type of deal for them. But when you're looking at McDaniel, because he sort of comes off as a guy that, my system makes you. You don't make my system. So when you look at a Jonnu, they can let him go on and they can just plug another tight end in his place.
Yeah, well, we know that's what they could do at the running back position.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll add this on Jonnu's touchdown reception total. It was the most by a tight end in the history of the Dolphins. Now, mind you, you know, they had some pretty good ones, including Keith Jackson. But mm-hmm. I think when you look at what you said, that's exactly the belief I think McDaniel has, is that he makes you, you know what I mean? And no matter what is plug and play. And I mean, I think if you look, it kind of carries on from Shanahan, because, you know, that's how even back further to Mike Shanahan, when he had all those, you know, plug and play players, it's just a belief.
Now, we had a discussion earlier about irrelevant franchises.
The word I used,
yes.
The word I used, Teron, is anonymous for two reasons. One, George Kittle announcing one of the Predators' first-round draft picks over the weekend, and Gentry Estes saying, does anybody else find it weird that the NFL player most commonly associated with Nashville's NHL team is a player who does not play for Nashville's NFL team? And the other one was Mike Florio wrote a story for Pro Football Talk on Brian Callahan being on the hot seat. And the lead of the story was that he legitimately forgot about Brian Callahan. So I just thought, are the Titans the most anonymous franchise in the NFL? Derek, you take it from there.
And that's what we were trying to come up with. And we asked our listeners. So with that being said, I'm going to ask you, because I threw three other teams that I thought would be more irrelevant or anonymous than the Tennessee Titans. But do you feel that at this point, we're not looking at the history, but just at this point within the last three seasons, are the Titans the most anonymous team out there?
Yeah, I would say yes. I think so. Yeah, I'm guessing Carolina is one of the teams that you were going to.
The Saints was another.
My choice was the Arizona Cardinals behind the Tennessee Titans.
But, you know, the Cardinals, they get primetime games, man.
Yeah,
that's
true. Right.
You know, they do. So, I mean, look, the youngster Cameron Ward, listen, he got the weight of the city on him. We'll see how he could perform. But to your point about being anonymous, like, you know, when the Titans are good, hey, you get some burn, right? Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry and everything get to do the you know, more TV hits. But, yeah, it's been a little scarce over the last couple years.
And that got me thinking, Teron, and I started to look at every position. And I lumped the offensive line together as just one big position. But when you start to look at it down the board, and we could do that with the defensive line as well, but when you look at it, they, outside of Jeffrey Simmons and even some in this little space, this room, don't even think Jeffrey Simmons cracks the top 10. But if you look at their roster, they don't have – they have all – maybe one player that cracks the top 10 at his position?
Yeah. I mean, look at – what, one Pro Bowler last year? You know, that tells you. That tells you right there. And, I mean, we know NFL top 100, they're not going to be. No, there's not going to be anybody in that either, you know. So it is what it is, man.
Yeah, I just found that. And like I explained to people, listen, you don't need a bunch of, you know, all pro guys. And that would be great. But this team lacks, you know, top-end talent, or at least for the last couple of years, they've lacked consistent top-end talent. Even Jeffrey Simmons, who we believe is a baller, his play even dipped a little bit last year.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just be real about it. His play has dipped since Danico Autry left, and that's why he was such a critical piece. So you're 100% right. And, I mean, we'll see what Draymond Jones, you know, can bring. He's a guy similar as far as, like, style of play and being able to do everything from zero to, you know, standing up and coming off the edge. So
now, not Jeffrey Simmons, but T'Vondre Sweat. Are you expecting a big jump this year from him? Because I expect him to start, start tapping at that upper echelon as far as defensive guys in the interior. And I'm not just talking about because, you know, sacks. He's not going to get the sacks. That's just the way it is.
Right, right.
But the other things that he does for that defensive front can't be forgotten.
Right, exactly. The two gap and even just, you know, sometimes he's got to use his bull rush more. Like, think about all that weight bull rushing on it. I know guards are big and, you know, the interior guys are strong, but, man, that's a lot. So he does have to use – I think he's going to use that a little bit more. And we'll see what happens. The endurance obviously is there, and I know that was a big issue last year at this time as far as the question mark, but look at him now.
Now, you've spoken with D-line coaches. I mean, you've had conversations with Tyrell Williams when he was here with the Titans, and now he's in New England. When you talk to these defensive line coaches, is it imperative for a big fella like T'Vondre Sweat to have, you know, 4 or 5 moves, or should he just master 2 to 3 moves and really work on those?
Yeah, they're more in the 2 to 3 move range. And it's like, from talking to Coach Rocker, you know, it varies per guy. But one thing that Tyrell Williams always made sure that those guys knew how to be violent, knew how to, like, redirect and make sure that their hands, whether it was matching the quarterback or slapping hands down, made sure that their hands were good.
Teron, before we let you go, there was a story on NFL Nation yesterday looking at the biggest surprise players on each NFL team this offseason. You landed on linebacker Cody Barton. Why was he your choice?
It was an easy choice for me. I didn't know the leader that they were getting. And, you know, that's something they're desperately needing. I watched him, talk to James Williams and really help him. Watched him communicate with Cedric Gray when he comes in and they're on the field together. And even just telling the younger linebackers to get their depth and do different things. I was really impressed with that. But then on top of that, just the energy that he brings to practice, as well as in watching him. He had 2 very good interceptions. You know, well, one was a gimme. The other one, he did a good job of reading the quarterback's eyes, and he went and he picked Cameron Ward off. So it just overall, I was impressed. I was not expecting to, you know, see the player that I saw. But again, it's shorts, T-shirts, helmets. Last year at this time, you know, Kenneth Murray was looking really good. So you just got to slow walk and let things work out the way they do.
How bullish are you on the linebacker group as a whole as the training camp starts in a month from now?
I think it's a big incomplete, but I do like the young linebackers in James Williams and Cedric Gray. And even Otis Reese is a guy that we don't talk about at all, but you know, when he's healthy and he's playing, like, that is a D-ball, get-ball player, and they need those types on this defense. So,
Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter, joining us on the program. Teron, great stuff as always. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day to you and yours. Enjoy New York.
I'll hit you up, TD.
All right, thank you. Let's go Mets.
Thanks, Teron. Teron Davenport on the program. If only Willie were here. We could really get into the history of Bobby Bonilla.
I never knew that Bertie Madoff, there were tentacles, you know, connecting him and Bobby Bonilla in the Mets. I didn't know that.
He was sort of a trailblazer, wasn't he, in terms of deferred payment on contracts?
Who, Bobby Bonilla?
Yeah.
Most notable, for sure, yeah.
Yes. Exactly. I mean, Shohei Ohtani took a lot of deferred money, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I believe Bobby Bonilla, obviously he's known for today, but his name might be overshadowed in the coming years because Ohtani deferred a lot of his money.
Yeah, Ohtani, majority of his money is deferred.
It's like 20, 50 or something like that.
It's crazy.
A lot of it is deferred with his.
I'm looking this up right here.
Is it like $700 million?
He is deferring, according to MLB.com, Ohtani is deferring $68 million of his $70 million average salary.
That's about 90-something percent.
Yes, absolutely stunning. But happy Bobby Bonilla Day to you and yours. Celebrate the way that Bobby Bonilla would, now that he has an extra $1.2-ish million in his pocket. 615-737-1025. Still nothing on the free agency front for the Nashville Predators. It's been a boring, boring, boring free agency day for the Nashville Predators. We'll see if they do anything between now and the start of Stillman and Company at 2 o'clock. But, yes, a much different day than this time last year. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, I read something yesterday, then I went back and listened to it, and I want to get Derek's thoughts on it. It's Predators adjacent. A former Predators player, quite honest with his situation here in Nashville. We'll discuss that next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan,
1025, 106.3. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you on NHL Free Agency Day.
Still nothing for your Nashville Predators. They've made zero signings, or at least zero signings that have been reported. The Utah Mammoth, Derek's new favorite team, just announced a three-year contract worth $3.5 million per season for defenseman Nate Schmidt, who won the Stanley Cup with the Florida Panthers. They re-signed everybody, so somebody had to leave. And it's Nate Schmidt who played a big role in the bottom half of their defense, and the Panthers winning the second Stanley Cup in a row. So Nate Schmidt off to Utah with the Mammoth. Talk about a change in lifestyles from South Florida to Salt Lake City. So maybe a bit of a culture shock upcoming for Nate Schmidt. But still nothing for the Nashville Predators. Again, a much different day than this day last year. By the way, we talked about the fireworks. Dylan texted in and said, Adam, my son leaves on Friday to go to his mom's house for the weekend, so I was planning on shooting fireworks with him Thursday night. Would that be acceptable in your eyes?
Yes.
Dylan, I will allow that because that's a good reason. I will allow that. If you missed it earlier, I'm a stickler for some random holiday-related things.
Okay.
So, for example, I do not think Christmas season starts until Black Friday. Do not, under any circumstances, start celebrating Christmas on November 1st.
I can't watch
Hallmark. No.
Can I watch Hallmark movies?
In the comfort of your own home, that's fine. Keep it to yourself. But I'm talking about stores putting up Christmas decorations on November 1st, people hanging Christmas lights on November 1st. Uh-uh.
Yeah, I'm with you.
The first day of Christmas season is Black Friday, after Thanksgiving. And I allow a one-week grace period following Christmas for the Christmas season. I say that you have to stop all Christmas-related things on New Year's Day. That's it.
I'm taking the tree down immediately. It is down. And the minute I can take it down, once Christmas is over and that next day roll around, we are making plans to take everything off the tree the first day, and then the second day taking the tree down.
So when it comes to fireworks in July 4th, here's how I feel about it. You can fire fireworks on July 4th, or if you have extenuating circumstances like Dylan, you can do it July 3rd. That's it. No fireworks on July 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th. The only day it is acceptable to shoot off fireworks yourself is July 4th. I have no tolerance for that. Zero tolerance.
Does that go for the city as well?
No, if it's like a fireworks show or display, like if you go to a baseball game, if you go to a Sounds game, for example.
No, I'm talking about, I'm just saying like, I'm not talking about during the year. I'm just saying right before July.
This is specific to people purchasing their own fireworks and shooting them off outside their home or in a field or somewhere. I'm not talking about big fireworks displays that you see at baseball games or when the city of Nashville does a July 4th celebration. I'm talking about if you drive somewhere, buy fireworks where you can buy fireworks and then bring them home and fire them off, you can do that for one day, July 4th. That's it. Not July 3rd, not July 5th, July 4th. That is the only day in which that is acceptable.
Can they start at 12 a.m.?
No. I've got a three-year-old and a dog.
They're going to be shooting them off the next day until 12 a.m. So why can't they start at 12 a.m. or 11:59?
Be considerate of your neighbors. How about that? If you live a little bit further out and you don't have neighbors close by, that's fine. I remember a couple of years ago, I live in a small neighborhood, and someone was shooting off fireworks while my then infant son was trying to sleep, and I had drugged my dog, and it wasn't working. I was pissed.
So your dog goes crazy when he hears fireworks.
Well, what dog doesn't go crazy?
You're right. My dogs didn't. They just, I guess after a while, they were like,
You know
cool
whose fault it is, D-Mace? What? It's the home builder's fault. Yeah. That's who it is. Because they did not soundproof your walls.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a problem. Yeah. I mean, I'm not inviting you to my house, Fingin, because I'm one of those people that shoots it off Friday the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th,
so
and
he
maybe
falls
the 10th.
Under, yeah, he falls under your, he falls into that category of, you know, people that, you know, set off fireworks before and after.
Look, I like that.
We
have
do.
Fun.
Hey, I just, okay, to interrupt, I am very happy about this because Robbie Stanley, if you're listening, I have been asking for this. According to Bob McKenzie, all signs point to defenseman Nick Perbix going to Nashville on a 2-year deal. He was my number one Predators free agent target, and I will screenshot the text to Robbie Stanley because I've been bugging him about it for weeks. So we finally have somebody.
So what would he bring?
So Nick Perbix. Let me tell you all about Nick Perbix. And it rhymes, you know, you might be snickering because Perbix loosely rhymes with a part of the female anatomy. Nick Perbix, think about it for a second.
Yes.
You got it? Okay.
I got it.
Nick Perbix is a 27-year-old defenseman who has spent the past three seasons with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mm-hmm. He was a late bloomer. He was a sixth-round pick in 2017, but he did not debut with the Tampa Bay Lightning until 2022. So in his three seasons in Tampa Bay, he played 69 games, 77 games, and 74 games. He's a right-handed defenseman.
Finally.
Hallelujah, if you're a Predators fan. He is a right-handed defenseman. He played a mostly third-pairing role for the Lightning last season. But unlike Nick Hague, Nick Perbix two seasons ago was Victor Hedman's number one defensive partner. Victor Hedman, future Hall of Fame defenseman, number one defenseman for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So Nick Perbix has experience playing with a top defenseman. So I could easily see Nick Perbix playing with Roman Josi on the top pair. I'm curious what the cap hit's going to be. We'll see how much it's going to cost. I really like this signing. I think Nick Perbix fills an absolute need for the Nashville Predators coming from the Tampa Bay Lightning. So according to Bob McKenzie of TSN, the Predators have finally made a signing. They have signed former Tampa Bay Lightning defenseman Nick Perbix, P-E-R-B-I-X, to a 2-year deal. The cap hit has not been disclosed as of yet. But until I see what that is, I like this signing. I really like this signing.
Now, what does this do? Because we were talking about this yesterday, and we're trying to figure out the pairing. So what does this do with Hoy? Is it Hoy?
Hague.
Because we were discussing him yesterday and where he would fall in regards to the lines.
So this is a good question. So off the top of my head, my top pairing would be Roman Josi and Nick Perbix.
Okay.
Josi on the left, Perbix on the right. Second pair would be Shea on the left. I don't know if I would put Justin Barron there. I don't know about that. Still, see, the problem is after Perbix, you still don't have great right-handed defensemen.
No.
I mean, you could still put Justin Barron on that second pair, but still, yeesh. It's a good question. I think I'm going to do this for tomorrow.
Okay.
But Nick Perbix has reportedly signed a two-year deal. 2 years, according to Anthony DeMarco of Daily Faceoff. 2 years with a $2.75 million cap hit with the Predators. I like it. I do. I think this is a good signing by the Nashville Predators. It fills a need. He's 6'4", and he can play on a top pair because he did so with the Tampa Bay Lightning a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So I like this signing. I think this was a good piece of business by the Nashville Predators. So kudos to Barry Trotz. I'll give you this one. By the way, just for proof, on Monday, June 23rd at 7:10 a.m., I texted Robbie Stanley in all caps, Nick Perbix.
So you got him.
So I'm a big fan.
It's like Candyman.
I'm a big fan. Yes. So the Predators have reportedly signed defenseman Nick Perbix formerly of the Tampa Bay Lightning. He does bring that size. So Nick Hague, 6'6", 245 pounds. Nick Perbix, 6'4", 200 plus pounds.
Was he on their Stanley Cup winning team?
No.
Okay.
I think he would have shown up the year after. Let me double check. No, he was not on any of their Stanley Cup winning teams. And he's not a defenseman who is going to bring offense like Hague. Mm-hmm. Hague has never scored more than 5 goals in an NHL season. Perbix's career high in goals is 6, which he had this past season. Had 19 points in 74 games, but he is not an offensive defenseman. Mm-hmm. His ability to disrupt opponents is what stands out in terms of getting a stick in passing lanes, disrupting plays in the neutral zone.
Isn't this a theme?
Really
now?
Good.
Isn't this a theme? Because what did, you know...
And this is not a gross overpayment, unlike what we saw yesterday with Nick Hague.
Exactly. But isn't this sort of the profile of Martin? You know, a guy that's physical, that will mix it up on the defensive end. His offensive game will come along, and they believe it will. His ceiling is high. But for right now, the sheer competitiveness, the willingness to get in those dirty areas and fight for the puck and be physical – we sort of saying the same thing about Perbix. So don't we see a theme sort of going here from a defensive standpoint? Barry feels he got enough scores. Now he has to add those defensive players.
Yes, it'll be interesting.
In his mind,
it'll be interesting to see how the defense shakes out here. Mm-hmm. But I think you can slot Nick Perbix first pairing right-handed defenseman with Roman Josi. I think you can do that because, again, Perbix did it with Victor Hedman. So if he can do it with Hedman, he can do it with Josi, in my opinion. So I think your first pair right now on paper looks like Josi on the left, Perbix on the right. Okay. 615-737-1025. We have our first deal. As reported by Bob McKenzie and others, the Nashville Predators have signed defenseman Nick Perbix, P-E-R-B-I-X, a two-year deal. A cap hit of under $3 million per season for the 27-year-old Nick Perbix, formerly of the Tampa Bay Lightning. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on that. And we'll sort of wrap up the show in however way we decide to do it. Coming up next, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, Stillman and Company coming up next. Jared big-timing us again. So no transition with Jared Stillman today, but you'll hear him starting at 2 o'clock.
Yeah,
so the Predators have made a signing, finally. It took nearly our entire program. The Predators have reportedly signed defenseman Nick Perbix. Let me spell it for all of you as you're snickering. P-E-R-B-I-X, Nick Perbix, a 6'4", right-handed defenseman. Emphasize that point. Right-handed defenseman. The Predators have signed Perbix to a two-year deal reportedly worth $2.75 million per season. Now, here are a few things I like about this signing. Mm-hmm. He's right-handed. That's number one. The Predators absolutely needed a right-handed defenseman. Number two, Perbix is 27 years old. He was among the youngest available unrestricted free agents on the market. So he still has room to grow as an NHL player. He's 27.
So he fits into, again, the, you know, the sort of this criteria that you guys were talking about last week. A young guy that still has, you know, he's shown that he can play but still has some growing.
So, one, he's right-handed. That's good. Mm-hmm. Two, he's on the younger side. He's 27, so there's still room to grow. He was a late bloomer. Again, he was drafted in 2017, I want to say, and did not debut until 2022. Three, he has experience playing with top defensemen. Two seasons ago, his top defensive partner in Tampa was Victor Hedman. So he has experience playing with a top defenseman. Four, this is not a gross overpayment. I actually believe that this is exactly what Nick Perbix should be worth on the free agent market. I actually pulled up, let's go to AFP Analytics. That's the website I referenced yesterday that was not too keen on the Nick Hague contract. They have Nick Perbix. Their contract projection was 2 years, $2.6 million. So he signed for 2 years, $2.75 million. So in line with what his contract projection should be versus Nick Hague, who, again, was grossly overpaid. So all in all, I like this signing. Nick Perbix is not going to wow you. He's not offensively inclined. He's not the perfect defenseman by any stretch of the imagination, but I am confident in this. He's the best right-handed defenseman on this team now. I think he's better than Justin Barron. I don't think I can even name the other right-handed defenseman off of the top of my head. So Perbix may be the best right-handed defenseman on this team by default. Justin Barron, Nick Blankenberg, yeah, he's clearly the best right-handed defenseman on this team. But again, not a huge competition. Mm-hmm. So the things I like about this deal, one, right-handed defenseman.
Yes.
First and foremost, that's important. Two, has experience playing with top defensemen. Although he was more of a third-pairing defenseman this past season, two seasons ago, he was Victor Hedman's top defensive partner. Three, young, still just 27 years old, turned 27 in June 15th. So a young 27. Mm-hmm. So he will be 27 throughout the NHL season. And four, it is in line with what he should have been paid. AFP Analytics predicted a $2.6 million cap hit. He reportedly gets $2.75. So for all of those reasons, I think this is a solid signing by the Nashville Predators. Again, he does not pass the Mikhail Granlund rule. Jared, I know you're listening because you just texted me. I know he does not pass the Mikhail Granlund rule, so you may think he stinks. Again, he is not God's gift to right-handed defensemen. But I'm looking at other right-handed defensemen who were just signed. I believe Cody Ceci was just signed by which team? Maybe the LA Kings? Let me double-check that. Cody Ceci was signed by the LA Kings to a four-year contract with a $4.5 million cap hit. I would much rather have Perbix 2 years, $2.75 million, than Ceci 4 years, $4.5 million. Cody Ceci, by the way, is 31 years old. So I do think that this is a solid signing. Again, I'm not going to throw a parade. I am not going to set off fireworks because it's not July 4th. Also, it's raining again for some reason. I thought I didn't live in Florida. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess Nick Perbix will be right at home because it's raining every day. He was used to that in Florida. So overall, I like this signing. Again, it's not Steven Stamkos, the other former member of the Tampa Bay Lightning they signed in free agency a year ago today. But I like this signing. I think it makes the defense look better today than it did when we woke up.
Yeah, and that's something that they need. They need more of a defensive presence on this team. They figure, I'm sure Barry figures that last year was just an aberration as far as scoring. But that defensive part, because that's his calling card. He's a defensive type of he was a defensive type of coach, and I'm sure he's starting to, you know, those things are starting to float around in his head as the GM, be more defensive minded, because they lacked that last year.
So your thoughts on Nick Perbix, 615-737-1025. One of my favorite follows on Twitter, Ryan, at Angry Preds Fan. He's also a big Nick Perbix fan, and he said, Perbix is kind of everything a team in the Preds spot should be looking for. Cheap and short-term, and gives flexibility to potentially flip at next year's deadline or re-sign and keep around for like six to eight good years if it all happens to work out. I would agree with pretty much everything he said. So, again, I'm not Barry Trotz is not off the hook for the Nick Hague trade and the subsequent contract, because yikes, that contract. That's a bad contract, the Nick Hague contract. The Nick Perbix contract, it's a good contract. So good job, Barry. I like this one. I'm not going to vilify you for this one. So,
well, we'll see how it all shakes out.
Yes, we'll see how it all shakes out. But speaking of Predators defensemen, I do want to end the show on this. So Dante Fabbro signed the other day a 4-year, $16.5 million contract with the Columbus Blue Jackets. So a cap hit of $4.125 million per year. Remember, first round pick of the Nashville Predators several years ago. Played only 6 games for the Predators this season before being waived. And when he did play, he was barely playing. He gets picked up by the Columbus Blue Jackets. He was outstanding for the Blue Jackets. He averaged nearly 22 minutes of ice time per game, had 26 points. He was a plus 23. I'm not a huge plus minus guy, but plus 23, that's a sparkling number. So yesterday, he held his post-contract news conference and was talking about the adjustment from coming to Nashville to Columbus. And here's what he said at the end of that response that caught my attention.
Big credit to obviously the coaching staff and my teammates to help me out and you know, really get the grasp of, you know, our systems and whatnot. And again, just, you know, learning different guys' personalities on the team is big. And I do like to chat a lot in the locker room and you know, kind of be that, not a presence, but just kind of be that guy to joke around and stuff like that in the locker room. But, you know, be serious when you need to be serious. So, yeah, for the most part, it was a crazy, obviously, few days there when, you know, everything kind of had happened with Nashville and then going to Columbus. But I've told people this lots of times. It was probably the best thing that's ever happened to me.
The best thing that's ever happened to Dante Fabbro is leaving Nashville. And I saw that tweet at first and I was like, that sounds harsh. Yeah. Then I listened to it because I always like to listen to it because when you just read it,
It's clickbait.
It's devoid of context.
Yeah.
But I wonder how Predators fans feel about Dante Fabbro, who seems to be thriving in Columbus, saying the best thing that ever happened to me was getting out of Nashville.
You know what? I mean, it all depends on how you see Dante Fabbro. I think sometimes it is, honestly speaking, it is the best thing for the individual. Why is it good that the organization can say, well, the best thing for us was to move on from this player and do what's best for the organization? It's okay for an organization to do that, but when a player does that, especially in this situation, because I don't think he's, you know, saying anything bad about the Nashville Predators. For his career, you know, moving forward, it was the best thing, you know, for him. We could say that about a bunch of people. First name that comes to mind, Delanie Walker. It was the best thing for him to get out of San Francisco so his career can truly flourish here in Nashville. Not to say he hated San Francisco. I would assume he didn't. But the best thing for his career was to leave and really be at a spot that wanted him where he can thrive. And he did just that here in Nashville.
And as our friend Elliot Freeman always says, we can't criticize hockey players for being boring, and then when they say something interesting, criticize them for that. But look, good for Dante Fabbro. Good for Dante Fabbro. He found a place that utilized him in a different way, And when the Predators waived Dante Fabbro, I don't remember being all bent out of shape about it. It seemed to make sense. He was being scratched a lot, and when he was playing, he wasn't playing very much. And I certainly didn't expect the glow-up that he had in Columbus, but you know, he certainly would fill a need as a right-handed defenseman on a good contract. But I thought that was interesting, just because I know a lot of Predators fans look at younger players who the Predators have given up on, and they're thriving in other places. By the way, if I'm not mistaken, Pittsburgh Penguins did not give Philip Tomasino a qualifying offer. So for those of you who don't understand what that means, Philip Tomasino was a restricted free agent, of course, traded by the Predators to the Penguins. And when you're a restricted free agent, the team that owns your rights has to give you a qualifying offer to maintain those rights. You can continue to negotiate a contract, but it's basically like, we're going to keep you around so we can talk to you some more.
Yeah.
But the Penguins said, nah, and they did not qualify Philip Tomasino. So he's a unrestricted free agent.
So the
Penguins gave up on Philip Tomasino.
Sort of like the franchise tag.
Yeah.
We'll give you the franchise tag.
More or less.
You know, because we're trying to work out a deal with you in a sense.
Right. So for those of you who have said, you know, look what the Predators did, just giving away Philip Tomasino. Clearly the Penguins didn't want Philip Tomasino either. So like, just because a young player goes off and has a good couple games or a good half season with another team doesn't mean it's all the Predators' fault. I mean, Philip Tomasino got off to a hot start with the Penguins, but then cooled off considerably, and now he's on the market. So, you know, good for Dante Fabbro. Glad that he's happy in Columbus. I'm sure the Predators, you know, in hindsight, wish they would have maybe handled that differently. Maybe they could have gotten an asset for Dante Fabbro instead of just giving him away. But I did find those comments interesting. But it's been a quiet free agency day for the Nashville Predators, much different than it was a year ago when the Predators spent all of the money on Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, and Brady Shea. So far, the only reported signing for the Nashville Predators, Nick Perbix, right-handed defenseman from the Tampa Bay Lightning, signs a two-year deal, reported $2.75 million cap hit. I really like this move for them. I think he fills a lot of needs. I was about to say the thing I'm not allowed to say on the show. But he fills a lot of needs. I could see him playing on the top pair with Roman Josi. We'll see what happens over the course of the day. Jared Stillman will take it from here. He will update you on all things NHL free agency. If the Predators make any more moves, Jared will bring them to you. But again, that'll do it for us today. I hope everybody had a wonderful time with us, although it was a sleepy free agency day today, yes. Derek. We did make the most of it. We will be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Be blessed. Love on your people. Hug them. Keep them close. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Peace.